Would you pray with me? Our great God, speak to us through your word. Instruct us and teach us in the way we should go. And fill us with marvel at your wonderfulness. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wayne and Shuster were a Canadian comedy team back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, maybe even into the 70s, I'm not sure. They did one of their sketches was a spoof on the Trojan War. And of course the Greeks had their Trojan horse that they used to sneak into the city. And at one point in the sketch, a bunch of people come marching through, ban the horse. And one says to the other, "Who are those?" "Oh, that's some new religious cult. They only believe in one God. They're this close to being atheists." The word atheist means literally without God. And an atheist will tell you, there is no God. The word agnostic means without knowledge. And an agnostic will tell you, well, we can't know if there is a God or not. And if there is, we can't know what he's like. So out of this comes two big questions. Number one, is there a God? Question number two, if there is, what's he like? Well, the answers to the two questions are very simple. Yes and yes. God exists, and he has revealed himself, and we can know him and what he is like. The Bible starts off, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God claims to be the creator of all that is. Now, if matter is not created by God, then it must by definition be eternal. It defies every law of science and logic to think that something that has no ability to reason or act on its own impulse can decide to come into existence. It just can't be. So matter had to have been created. Now that raises the second question. Okay, if God created matter, where did God come from? Well, God declares that he is the self-existent one. He has always been. I find it much easier to believe that an all-powerful, all-wise being has always existed than that somehow matter managed to create itself. Now, an atheist or agnostic will probably tell you, we can't know what God has done. So, in the gazillion of years that the earth has existed, in the vast ocean with thunder and lightning and da-da-da-da-da, heat and cold, a single cell creature somehow managed to come together with its own unique strand of DNA, the ability to reproduce that strand and check it and make sure it's reproduced properly, little parts within the cell that produce the energy and synthesize the chemicals that make up the DNA. And all that enclosed in a cell wall to keep it all together. That's what we're asked to believe happened. And out of that single cell have developed, and remember, that single cell had its own unique DNA. Out of that single cell have come hippos and hummingbirds, palm trees and pelicans, flowers and flamingos, algae and alligators, moss and moose, geese, grass, gazelles and gardenia. Oh yeah, and humans. And within every one of those creatures, there has to be the distinction of cells to make up stomach and liver and pancreas and brain and lungs and heart and the ability of all those things to function together in a unity. Sorry, I don't have that much faith. I can't buy it. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in all the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse." The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat." No. The great complexity of life and its variety and the marvels of the universe and how it works requires that there be a creator. Evolution, chance, is just not a workable answer. To think that the incredible complex nature of life just happened is far beyond my ability to imagine. Take my watch. Take it apart, put all the parts in a jar, shake it, bake it, stir it, boil it, freeze it, do whatever you want to it, and it'll never come back looking like this. As a matter of fact, as you do that, the gears are going to get damaged, the hands are going to get bent, the crystal's going to get cracked and chipped. The more you try and make it, the worse it comes out. The only way you get a watch out of that is if a watchmaker comes and empties out the jar and takes the pieces and puts them together the way they need to be. And that's the only explanation for the universe, for life that exists as it does, is that a great creator planned it and did it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God reveals himself in his creation, in just the marvels that we see around us. God reveals himself to us in his actions, in the things that he does. One of the most common phrases in the Old Testament is that you, or that they, may know that I am the Lord. God does things to reveal himself to people. The phrase occurs something like 69 times in the book of Ezekiel alone. In the story of the Exodus, that Pharaoh may know that I am the Lord. And all the things that God did for Israel at the time of the Exodus, the plagues on Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, the manna, the water to drink, the quail, his presence at Sinai, defeating their enemies, crossing the Jordan, conquering Jericho. And the story goes on and on and on about the things that God has done, revealing himself. And it wasn't just for Israel that God did this. It was for the Gentile nations, for everyone to know. The Gentile nations saw what God did for Israel. Naaman, the Syrian general, worshiper of a pagan god, was cured of leprosy by one of God's prophets and turned from his idol worship to worship the true God. A widow in Zarephath, that's up in Phoenicia, was cared for through the prophet Elijah. The prophet Jonah went to the people of Nineveh and proclaimed God to them, and they repented. In Jeremiah, we're told, at that time Jerusalem shall be called the throne of God, and all nations shall gather to it, to the presence of the Lord in Jerusalem. They shall no more stubbornly follow their own evil heart. The Lord Jesus said, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And at his departure, the Lord Jesus said to his apostles, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. It was never God's plan to reveal himself only to Israel, but it was always God's plan to reveal himself to the nations through Israel. God reveals himself in his creation, in the things he does, He reveals himself in the scriptures. The book of Hebrews starts off this way. Long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And the words of the prophets were recorded, and we can read them now. And we can learn from them who God is and what he expects of us. The Lord Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness of me." The scriptures hold the key, the truth of who God is and what he's done. From cover to cover, it's the story of how God works in the lives of people and nations. What he's done, what he is doing, what he will do. He reveals who he is, what he does, and what he expects of us. It reveals his character, his love, his compassion, his grace. Now, by his very nature, God only can reveal God. Never by human reason can we come up with a completely accurate picture of God. Think about it. Look at all the world religions and see what human reason has determined God is like. And what a mess they've made of it. No, God must reveal himself, or we will never fully, accurately know him. And God best revealed himself in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John starts off like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Christ is God who took on flesh and dwelt among us to reveal God to us and to redeem us to God, to make it possible for us sinful people to be children of a holy God. Jesus was in the temple. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colony of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But do not believe because you are, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered, It is not for a good work that we're going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Well, he didn't make himself God. He was, by very nature, and in every way, God. The book of Hebrews starts off this way. We read a little bit of it before. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God. Jesus, talking to his disciples near the end of his life, said this, Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have you been with me so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. And in revealing God to the world, he showed the compassion, the mercy and the grace of God, the very creator of all that is, allowed his creation to murder him that he might bring them forgiveness and peace with him just by faith. Well, God has very clearly revealed himself in his creation, in the things he does, in the scriptures, and most wonderfully in the person of Christ. We are without excuse. But that is not the end. Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." The Lord Jesus said at one point, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But on another point, he said to the disciples, "You are the light of the world." In this age, at this time, in this place, we are called to reveal God to those around us. We are his chosen instruments for this task. The sign over the back door of the church says, "You are now entering the mission field." Our mission is to reveal God, to point people to him. May we take up his commission and reveal God to this world around us.